Welcome. Thanks for joining us today on the UTG podcast, brought to you from understandingthegospel.org. My name is Graham Patterson, and I will be hosting this week the podcast. We're going to be speaking to a variety of Christians from all across the world, people that have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to be speaking to them about their faith and how that impacts their life on a day-to-day basis. So thanks for joining us. Sit back and relax and enjoy this podcast. We are joined by a good friend of mine called Robert Thompson, who is a consultant in intensive care medicine, working in the midst of the COVID-19 outbreak. How are you, Robert?
Yeah, Graham, thanks for having me. Yeah, we're doing good, getting by.
Good. Are you on a day off today, or are you a late shift today? What's your...
We're doing quite a bit of social distancing work as well. So a lot of the kind of office time work that we would normally do in the hospital, we're doing from home. So that's what I'm doing today.
So you are actively working in ICU during this current COVID-19 outbreak, is that right?
Yes. Yeah, ICU in Scotland. And yeah, it's been a bit different, I must say.
What is ICU then, Robert?
So intensive care is the ward in the hospital which looks after the sickest patients. It tends to be people that have had major operations and are recovering from that, or it can be patients that have had an acute illness, normally a sepsis, an infection, or a blood clot problem, or a brain injury. That type of kind of condition would mean that often patients need to be looked after with close monitoring and intense treatment, and that is in the intensive care unit, sometimes called critical care as well.
It's a pretty important job then. You're responsible for the care of these people who are, I suppose you could say it's life or death, could go either way with anybody in the ICU, obviously.
Yeah, by default, sadly, because the person is ill enough to require intensive care treatment, then it means that they have something which is, you know, life threatening, that it can cause their, can bring about their death.
So you are seeing a sort of big increase in your workload then because of COVID-19 and the outbreak?
Yeah, certainly when we first started seeing patients with COVID-19, the initial couple of weeks was very busy. We had a lot of extra admissions to intensive care. We thankfully had, you know, advanced warning of it because of the fact it had been around the world causing infections in other countries. So we saw this coming and we were able to prepare for it. But our workload, certainly in that initial phase, increased by double. We were seeing twice as many patients in our intensive care wards due to the COVID-19 infection.
Yeah, that is pretty intense, actually. So would you say that you're finding things worse or better since the virus has progressed over the past couple of weeks? Has things got a little bit better?
Certainly, the number of cases has dropped off, and so we've seen less people coming to the hospital and therefore coming into intensive care with coronavirus infection, with COVID-19 disease. And so the workload is certainly reduced in the last few weeks, and that's been because of the positive impact of the lockdown.
That's good. At least something's working, so that's pretty good. So an average day in ICU for you at the moment, what would that be? You get up and you have your breakfast and you drive to your work and you get all your PPE gear on. What's an average day like then just now, if there is an average day?
At the minute, I would say that a day is more exhausting when you're working on intensive care. That would be the main difference to normal, and that's almost entirely due to the PPE that everybody's been hearing about that we're having to wear. So it's a gown and two pairs of gloves and a face mask and a disposable hat and a visor. So the impact of that is that clearly we are very safe and we feel very safe working in intensive care and protected from this virus, which is great and is essential, but it really slows things down. So it becomes quite cumbersome just working in all this gear and this outfit. So it takes a lot longer to they just get through the normal daily tasks of reviewing each patient, assessing the treatments that they're having, seeing how their progress is, looking at their results, blood results, x-rays, these sorts of things. It just becomes slower, and because of that, you need more staff working in these wards to actually do the routine stuff, because people are taking longer to get things done. So it's really, that's the main difference.
So basically, when you come in from work at night, you are pretty tired.
Wiped out.
Yeah. And do you have to do this whole, I noticed in the media, they have to do this whole turning of patients upside down and so on. Is that taking place as well?
So that's right. So that would be a routine kind of means of treating people in intensive care. When somebody's got a bad infection of the lung, which is the main feature of this disease, COVID-19, but if anybody came to intensive care with pneumonia and their oxygen levels were really quite precarious, then we would regularly turn people onto the front. But because we've got more patients in our intensive care with a severe lung infection, we're having to do more turns on more patients, so that's increased work. So whereas we would maybe be turning maybe one patient a day in intensive care, normally we can be doing up to four or five patient turns per day. So that's extra work.
Yeah, it must be, and especially if you're wearing all the PPE gear as well, that must be even more difficult to try and get that done, wearing all that.
It would normally take about seven members of staff to turn one patient, and it would take about 20 minutes to do it properly and safely, so it does add a lot to the workload, yeah.
Yeah, so it just emphasises that the NHS are doing a phenomenal work in dealing with this, and things that we really don't even think about or know about, you just take for granted. That's very much appreciated. So thank you for all your hard work. Here's a question though. Maybe it's on all of our minds. You're there, you're in the middle of this virus, you're seeing people with it, you're seeing people dying with it as well. Are you afraid of catching it?
Yeah, I think a lot of my colleagues, including myself, were worried that we're exposed to this virus because of the way we're working. It certainly feels safer because of the equipment that we're wearing, and that's a protective barrier. So in intensive care, I think that we are in some ways in a fortunate position, you could argue, because we've got all this protective equipment on, but it certainly is something that's a worry. If I was maybe 10 or 15 years older, or if I had chronic health problems like diabetes or high blood pressure, then I'd maybe be more worried about it than I am. But I suppose you've got to balance it with the responsibility of the job, where we've just got to get on as is our role and try and get these people better from that, and that is our duty. So you've kind of got to put your anxieties to one side, certainly when you're at work, and deal with what's in front of you and try and be balanced with it, because although it is a contagious disease, thankfully, the vast majority of people are going to avoid being very unwell with this, including us.
Yeah, which is our prayer as well, that you stay safe in the job that you're doing. Obviously, the media have got a really important role to play in what they do. Sometimes they like to sensationalise things a fair bit as well and get a few headlines grabbed here, there, and generally everywhere. Do you think that they are things as bad as the media are telling us? For example, what's the survival rates once you're in ICU? Because when you look at the media, it's almost like you arrive in ICU, bang, that's you, you're finished, you're done, you're not coming out there unless you've unfortunately passed away. Is it as bad as that?
It's difficult to say with any certainty at the minute, but because we've been having more and more cases of this across the UK, we're getting more information coming through, and we're certainly seeing a lot of people surviving intensive care treatment and being discharged to the ward areas and being discharged to the hospital. So it's definitely not the case that this is a condition which comes with an enormous fatality rate. It would probably be very similar to most severe infections and severe lung problems that we see in intensive care, very comparable with most of these things, where sadly, maybe one in three people will not survive if it is that they come to intensive care for treatment. So that's a high risk of death, but it's actually very similar to most severe lung infections that we see in intensive care anyway. So I think the media are putting forward an accurate description of what the risk of death is if you come to intensive care, but they're not balancing that with the information, which is that actually this is the usual risk of death, sadly, if you come to intensive care anyway.
Robert, I want to speak to you about your faith. Obviously, you are a Christian. There was a day in your life when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Saviour, and that has transformed your life. You want to serve him in your life and with your family as well. You're active in your local assembly too. But when it comes to work, how does that impact some of the decisions that you have to make? From a Christian standpoint, how does that impact you?
Yeah, so the decisions in relation to how to treat people and when to treat people when they have a life-threatening disease can be very difficult. Obviously, as Christians, we believe that there is an existence after death, and that's true of everybody. And so these decisions can be really fraught with a lot of anxiety about, are you making the right decision for that person? I think what we keep in our minds, and this is true of any intensive care doctor, is that we want to try and do what's right for that patient, for that person. And so we want to try and get them better from the illness, which is making them so very unwell. That decision needs to be balanced, though. It wouldn't be fair or right or ethical or moral to bring somebody to intensive care and have them managed there with very invasive forms of treatment if it was that there was no real potential for them to get better and to recover. That would be completely wrong. But we need to balance that with offering treatment to patients where there is real opportunity and potential for them to recover and to get better. And at times that can be difficult to actually know in that instant what is the right thing to do. And balancing that with the fact that as Christians we know that death is not the end can make it really quite an ethical conundrum.
I can imagine it must do, and then you take the next level and you're having to speak to family members about it and speak to them about perhaps switching off life support, and it must be a difficult choices and situation to be in. Do you ever get the opportunity to speak about your faith in Christ, or is that something you kind of have to try and keep completely separate?
Thankfully we do. I'm of the persuasion is a lot of Christians are that when you're at work, you're getting paid to work. So you've got to be very careful about that and to not spend time in conversation about a lot of non-work things, whether that's, you know, secular stuff or whether that's discussing with people about our Christian belief. But it's certainly the case that, you know, the current circumstances that we find ourselves in with the COVID disease, that a lot of colleagues and people in the hospital are asking questions about, you know, life and death, and what do you think about how this is going to end up with this disease? And it's given opportunity to express that, well, in particular, as a Christian, we believe that God is in control and that God has allowed these circumstances to arise for whatever reason. And whilst he might not be causing them, he's certainly allowing these difficult moments to occur, I suspect, to cause people to think about bigger issues than just, you know, money and holidays and work. It's certainly allowed itself to have conversations with people, which has been a positive thing. But it is, I think, an important aspect of anybody who's in employment that you have to balance your responsibility to tell others about the Lord Jesus with actually the fact that you're there to work and to deliver what it is that you've been tasked to do by your employer.
Yeah, do your job that you're getting paid for, basically. But yeah, I think it is amazing, actually, during this whole outbreak, the number of people that have been thinking about things and the number of people that have maybe had some time in their hands just to evaluate life and to evaluate their own circumstances too. And maybe if you're listening today, and that's something that we can all take out of this whole outbreak, is time to stop and to take stock, to ask about our own souls, to ask about our own spiritual gains and goals as well, and try and put some positive spin on this lockdown that we're having to pass through at present. Well, Robert, as a good friend of mine and as my voice, Robert is often at the end of the telephone for me or a message for me when I'm looking for some advice with regard to family members' illness. So he's pretty helpful actually that way. But have you got any advice for us today when it comes to COVID-19? Any news or any sort of things that we should be doing or not doing?
So I would say that as things are at the minute, people are responding right to the advice that we've been given, that we should be, you know, trying to be as socially distant to other people as much as possible. I think the advice to stay at home is sensible. I've got a lot of concern for people who are finding it difficult at the minute, especially due to a lack of employment or with their business struggling because they're unable to be out and working. But I think whilst we're in this lockdown period, the advice is sensible that where possible we should be trying to stay at home and recognise the positives of that, where people are enjoying spending time with their families and getting some downtime, whether it's not quite as stressful as usual. So grasp the opportunities which have been given by this, and we'll be back to work and back to a more normal life very soon, I'm sure.
I'm not going to put you on the spot and say, right, give us a timeline, because really we've no idea what the timeline is going to be. But thank you so much for joining us today. It's been really interesting, actually. It's been invaluable, I think, actually, and getting a little insight. I think that we all have to agree that the NHS workers are doing an amazing job. I, for one, was standing out last night at 8 o'clock having a round of applause for the work that they're doing. So thank you for your work, and thank you for your time today. And take care, you and the family as well. So thanks so much. Thanks for listening to the UTG podcast. If you would like some more information, please visit our website at understandingthegospel.org. If you've got any questions for us or comments, again, please feel free to get in contact with us, and hopefully you'll join us again for the next episode of the UTG podcast.